thank you for the honor given to me, but I want to be like a mirror. I want to reflect the glory back to God, because God has been so good to me. I just feel so honored to have been able to serve the Lord these many years. And so I just have just a few thoughts that I want to share with you, and I've entitled my message, Don't Waste Your Life. And so I just want to just say this before I get started, because I've been to enough funeral services. And I just would say, if you have an iPhone or similar device, please shut it off. And if you can't deal with it yourself, give it to your neighbor to be given back to you at the end of the service. I just want 25 minutes of your attention. You know, so easy we get distracted about a lot of stuff. And life is that way. And young people, I just want to really speak to your hearts as well. It's so easy sometimes to get to a place in our own lives where we think we have it together when we really don't. It's only God who puts our lives together in a way that honors, that brings honor to Him. And so before I begin, I'd like us to, and if you don't have it, hold your Bible high. I love to do this because it honors God's Word. And then just repeat after me. I believe the Bible to be the Word of God. As I read it, I receive understanding. As I obey it, I'm led in the paths of righteousness. It gives me encouragement, wisdom, enjoyment, and peace. It shows me the true path of life found in Christ as Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read a portion of Scripture. I'm going to actually read a whole chapter. I believe it just sort of sums up something in my own life as well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I don't have it on the overhead, but I want you to, if you're not reading it, then I want you to listen to it. Paul is writing here to the Corinthians. This is his second letter. And he talks about that the treasures of God are in earthen vessels, or in a jar. And I think of myself, even in ministry, that I was only a vessel that God could use. And so I'm going to read it, and I just trust you'll hear the words as I read. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we did not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we recommend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I want to just say, it is because of God's grace that I'm here today. How easy I could have given in to temptations that would have destroyed my ministry, destroyed my life, destroyed our marriage. And I look back and said, whoa, this is God's goodness and His grace. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The gods of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants. For Jesus' sake, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around on our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fixed our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. May the Lord bless his words to our heart. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for sending Jesus to be our Savior and Lord. Thank you for sending the Word and allowing us to receive it, and your Holy Spirit to make it real to our hearts. And so even as we contemplate these thoughts from your Word, I pray that you make it real to all of our hearts, that we may grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We just thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, that you've called me into ministry. And Lord, that you have kept me faithful as well. The thing that you have started, you have finished, and I thank you for that Word. And so may we not only be hearers of the Word, but doers. May we have our spiritual eyes open to see and our spiritual ears open so that we can hear. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin by reading a poem I read a couple of years ago called God's Eternal Ink. And I've thought of it often, and it's left an impact in my life. My brother sent it to me, and I've looked at it often. But I want you to hear it again. I dreamed I was in heaven, where an angel kept God's book. He was writing so intently, I just had to take a look. It was not at first his writing that made me stop and think, but the fluid in the bottle that was marked eternal ink. This ink was most amazing, dark black upon his blotter. But as it touched the parchment, it became as clear as water. The angel kept on writing, but as quickly as a wink, the words were disappearing with the strange eternal ink. The angel took no notice, but kept writing on and on. He turned each page and filled it till all its space was gone. I thought he wrote to no avail, his efforts were so vain, for he wrote 1,000 pages that he'd never read again. Yet as I was watching and wondered, this awesome sight was mine. I actually saw a word stay black as it dried upon the line. The angel wrote, and I thought I saw the look of satisfaction. At last he had some print to show for all his earnest action. A line or two dried dark and stayed as black can be. But strangely, the next paragraph became invisible to see. The book was getting fuller, the angel's records true. but most of it was black with just a few blank with just a few words coming through. I knew there was some reason, but as hard as I could think, I couldn't grasp the significance of that eternal ink. The mystery burned within me, and I finally dared to ask the angel to explain to me of his amazing task. And what I heard was frightful as the angel turned his head. He looked directly at me, and this is what he said. I know you stand and wonder at what my writing's worth, but God has told me to record the lives of those on earth. The book I'm filling is an accurate account of every word and action to what they do amount. And since you have been watching, I must tell you what is true. The details of my journey are the strict accounts of you. The Lord asked me to watch you as you worked and played. I saw you as you went to church. I saw you as you prayed. But I was told to document your life through all the week. I wrote when you were proud and bold. I wrote when you were meek. I recorded all your attitudes, whether they were good or bad. I was sorry I had to write the things that made God sad. So now I tell the wonder of this eternal ink, for the reason for its mystery should make you stop and think. This ink that God created to help me keep my journal will only keep a record of things that are eternal. So much of life is wasted on things that matter not. So instead of me erasing, smudging ink and ugly blot, I just keep writing faithfully and let the ink do all the rest, for it is able to decide what's useless and what's best. And God ordained that as I write of all you do and say, your deeds that count for nothing will just disappear away. When books are opened someday, as sure as heaven is true, the Lord's eternal ink will tell what mattered most to you. If you just live to please yourself, the pages will be bare, and God will issue no reward for you when you get there. In fact, you'll be embarrassed. You'll hang your head in shame because you did not give yourself in love in Jesus' name. Yet maybe there will be a few recorded lines that stay that show the times you truly cared, sincerely loved, and prayed. But you'll always wonder as you enter heaven's door how much more glad you would have been if only you had done more. For I record as God sees, I don't stop to even think, because the truth is written with God's eternal ink. When I heard the angel's story, I fell down and wept and cried, for just as I still was dreaming, I really hadn't died. And I said, O angel, tell the Lord that soon as I awake, I'll live my life for Jesus. I'll do all for his dear sake. I'll give in full surrender all I do he wants me to. I'll turn my back on self and sin and whatever isn't true. And though the way seems long and rough, I promise to endure. I'm determined to pursue the things that are holy, clean, and pure. With Jesus as my helper, I will bring lost souls to thee, for I know that they will live with Christ for all eternity. And that's what really matters when my life on earth is gone, that I will stand before the Lord and hear him say, well done. For is it really worth it as my life lies at the brink, and I realize that God keeps books with his eternal ink? Should all my life be focused on things that turn to dust? From this point on, I'll serve the Lord. I can, I will, I must. I will not send blank pages up to God's majestic throne, for where that record's going now is my eternal home. I'm giving all to Jesus. I now have seen the link, for I dreamed an angel wrote my life with God's eternal ink. Thank you. I'm just going to give you just a few illustrations here of some of the things that maybe we can waste our time with. First of all, I just want to tell a story that I heard many years ago. This contractor had asked a man to build a house for him. And the contractor says, just do it as elegant as you want. Just make it as nice as you want. Just the money is here. So the man began to build. But he thought, you know what? I've got all this money. I'm going to cheat a little bit. I won't put the best quality into this. I'll just do something different here, and I just leave it, you know. And the man finished the house, and then the contractor said to his friend, "For all the work that you've done over the years, this house is yours." And I said, "You know what? That's just like us. God has given us a house to build. Let's put the best quality into it." You know, it's so easy sometimes to waste our lives with our time, watching too much TV, doing too much of this texting or whatever. If you don't reserve time for God, Satan will never help you find it. That's true. He'll find some kind of excuse. And then when we make mistakes, we say, well, I'm only human. You know what? Many times it's a feeble excuse for not doing what God wants us to do. I want to encourage you. I haven't been always faithful in reading God's word or praying, but I have determined more than ever, the first thing I get up in the morning, I'm already out of bed. I'm already thanking the Lord for the day. I thank the Lord for my family. And I want to spend my time well. And it says to pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean I'm on my knees all day long praying. But you know what? There's an attitude that comes from my heart. To pray, to ask God to guide me. I prayed so often, Lord, help me be at the right place at the right time. And I'll tell you what, it's happened over and over again. Because I know I want His guidance. I want my time well spent so that I can honor God. I just appreciated so much the song service this morning. Thank you, Sean. You touched on a lot of things that that's been going in over in my own heart and mind. I want us to remember the first thing is to honor God. We're living in a society that wants so little to do with God. In fact, they want to push Him out with everything. The Bible says of these people, they are forever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. An example of this is one lady who spent a whole life living and working with monks and apes to try and find the missing link between them and us. There is no such link. Waste a whole life looking for something that isn't even there. Get what I'm saying? And it says the heavens declare the glory of God. They're trying to get to Mars, but Jesus lives here. You know what I'm saying? Wasting lifetime and energy on things that really have no eternal value in the poem that I read. It's so easy to get caught up with things. Even Jesus gave a parable of a man who was doing so well with his farm, and things were increasing to the point that he said, oh, I'm going to build bigger barns and store all this stuff. And then God says, this night, your soul will be required of me. And he's gone. What I learned from this lesson is this. Don't let things of this world accumulate to the point that you have to build bigger houses and bigger storage. My garage is full of stuff already. You know what I'm saying? God expects what we have to share with those around us. Amen? He didn't ask us to be hoarders. He asked us to be givers. You know, and isn't it funny how we get that way, though? You know, the more we have, the more we want, the more we think we need. You know, it's so good to go on a missions trip. You go to Mexico, and they have hardly anything. And then we were there to help them build a pastor's home with cement blocks. And at the end, they wanted to just show their appreciation. They took one of their own chickens, and they don't have very many, and they cooked it up and made a meal for us. They were sacrificing. And I said, so often we have so much, and we still can't seem to find a way to bless others with it. But do. Everything you have is already from God. Just learn to give it back in a way that honors Him. Another thing, honor God's word. Take time to read God's word. You know what? We have all these good things. Our daily bread. If you don't have any other devotion, read it. Take time every day. A book that I've used, keep using all the time, My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers. As you can see, it's full of little markers because, you know what? He was a man that God really blessed in being able to take a truth and dig into it and put it so deep that it takes a whole day to just think about it and sometimes not even contemplate because he's using God's word to help us. It's so important that our time isn't just taken up with ourselves, but with God's word. Another thing that is so important that we recognize, and that is that Jesus becomes our Savior, friend, and Lord. There was a plaque in our place at home on the farm that read, "Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." It has affected my life over and over again. Wasting one's life is putting one's own interest ahead of what is the Lord's. And Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you." I look over in my life and I said, oh my, I think some of the greatest times in my life were those when we had very little and we just saw God meet needs. When we were in Fernie, we lived in a little parsonage, and there were always people coming through. And I don't know how many bags of groceries we ever gave out, but we never went hungry. God met our every need. And so, because God, His resources are more than ever our needs will ever be. And I will say, you can't run a race if you don't start at come to the starting line. When it comes to salvation, the starting line is Jesus. It says, the Bible says, "Believe in the church and you shall be saved." Is that what it says? Believe in the Bible and you shall be saved. Believe the pastor and you'll be saved. And the world says, "Believe in yourself and you'll be saved." No, it says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Let's not make it any more complicated than that. Because when Jesus died, he died for us to redeem us. And I said, I've never been sorry that I trusted the Lord. He said, if we lose our lives for him, we will gain it. But if we live a selfish life, we lose it. And I'll tell you, Satan comes along many times to say, well, you know what? You know, you should be interested in yourself. You got to do things for yourself. Well, I'm sorry to the family. Sometimes I went and did things that I probably shouldn't. Should have spent more time with the family. But in all, others were important to me. I wanted God to be blessed through me. I believe that I've lived a more exciting life than I could have ever lived without it. I went to the 50th reunion of our graduation a few years ago, and one of the young men ended up in prison. Another couple young people got killed, and no one had a real big story to tell except all the things they did. But really, many of them just wasted lives, and I was the only one there with especially as a pastor. They soon found out it was that, so they asked me to pray and for the meal. And after I sat down, there was a couple in front of me that said, "Whoa, I'm really awed at somebody that can get up and pray without a script." You know what? When you're in touch with Jesus, you can pray anytime and anywhere. And I thought, oh, Lord, you know, to see all the graduation class kind of wasting their lives away and none of them giving their hearts to the Lord or following in his ways. Just broke my heart. I thought, you know what? How sad it is. We live in a society that lives for themselves and leaves Christ out. This is being taped as well. So if there's anybody even watching, here's a little prayer to pray if you don't know Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I asked you to come into my life. Holy Spirit, I invite you into my life and fill me with your power. Amen. That's how simple it is. God didn't make it complicated. He paid the price for us. I want us to also remember, if we're going to use our time wisely, we need to sit at the feet of Jesus. One day Jesus came. I probably was unexpected, and Mary and Martha and Lazarus, they were real friends of Jesus. In fact, they probably accommodated him many times as he traveled through there. So then Jesus sat down and started sharing, and so Mary quickly went and sat at his feet to take in every word that he had to say, because she knew he had words of eternal life. And it wasn't long till her sister Martha came in. And you know what? She reprimanded Jesus for not telling Mary to get to work. You know what? We can get so occupied with the things that really we think are important when sitting at the feet of Jesus is so important, because Jesus said, she has chosen the best part. We can get so busy with all the things. Let's not forget to sit at Jesus' feet. Another thing we need to do is to allow the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. Before Jesus left, he said he would send the Holy Spirit. And so on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came as a rushing mighty wind. And all of them had tongues of fire on their head. And I loved how one of the pastors said, you know what, I could see the fire in your head. But when I went to see mine, I go, oop, it's not there, you know. And so sometimes we're not even aware that God's Holy Spirit is in all of us here. We may not always see it, but let's open our spiritual eyes to give encouragement to one another. Let that fire burn in your heart and soul for Jesus. And Jesus said when the Holy Spirit would come, he wouldn't talk of himself. He would reveal the things of God and the things of Jesus to us. And I just really, really rely upon the Holy Spirit to guide me, because it's so easy for me to get distracted about the things of God. And it's the Holy Spirit that reveals to me the Father's heart, that are the things that are really important. Remember one missionary saying that, you know, or it was a poem that they'd written and said, you know, people build their eloquent houses. But he said, I want to build my house a yard from hell to save those that are going there. That's the Father's heart. And when we have it, we want to bless others. You know what? I just want to just share with you something that's really on my heart, and that is our words. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my strength and my redeemer. The reason the poem just really speaks to my heart, the eternal ink, is sometimes the words we speak leave a whole bunch of blank that we send to God. Every time we use an angry word, it's a blank. Doesn't do any good. Sometimes it does more harm. And then we say, is grumbling sin? Yeah, for the other guy, but not for me. I have reason for it to grumble and complain. You know, I just say, Lord, help me. I'm just so grateful for the Holy Spirit that will convict me when my words are wrong, and I have to ask God to help me to keep my words kind and gentle. You know, so many times we try to, you know, we read 1 Corinthians 13. But, you know, those are characteristics of the love of God. But you know what? If I haven't encountered the love of God, all of those characteristics become only the things that I want to do or I try to do. But you know, when the love of God is in me, it constrains me to be kind. It constrains me to do the right thing. I don't have to say, well, I got to be kind now. This person is being nasty. I got to be kind. No, the love of God flows out of you and says, no, I got to show a resolve in my heart that God loves them. They're being trapped by the enemy. Maybe they're saying things they shouldn't. And one time I was in the company of some people. This was many, many years ago in Sparwood, and we'd been invited to visit there. And one of the young men had a bunch of friends over, and I don't know if they were trying to have a competition. Every second word seemed to be a swear word. They were just giving her, you know, and then after it kind of died out. I really didn't pay much attention. Anyways, the young fella came to me after and said, you know, you took the wind out of their sails. I said, how? Because you didn't preach at them. Well, I didn't need to. They were just exposing what they really were. You know what? I don't have to argue against those things. I just have to pray and help me, God, to keep a pure heart. Because our salvation is sealed. And when you do gems, you seal them, that means that there's no contamination getting in, so it won't go bad. So my soul is sealed. So if I don't let the contamination in, the Lord will help me. I may hear all kinds of evil things, but you know what? They don't have to affect my life. Okay, I'm just going to wrap this up here. I want to just say this, that our lives, I want to illustrate it this way. In the physical, this would be an adult and this would be a child, right? In the spiritual sense, it's reverse. This is an adult, and that's me. And this is a child. Why? Because when you light it, which is going to last longer? There we are. So I want you to remember that. Children and young people have a whole life to live for God. Don't waste your life. It's so precious in God's sight. I want to give a word of thanks, first of all, to my Heavenly Father for allowing me to serve Him, who called me into ministry. I'll never forget the day that I knew that I knew that I knew. I was a little boy, and my cousin asked me one time, what are you going to be when you grow up? I said, I'm going to be a preacher. I said, well, what if that doesn't work? I said, well, I'm going to be a preacher. Yeah, but you need a second occupation somehow. But I was determined. But then as I grew older, I thought, well, yeah. Anyways, and then I didn't want to go to Bible school and finally did. And I'll never forget, in my fourth year at Bible school, it was toward the end of April, and school was finishing at the end of April. It was my fourth year. And I went, we had a chapel service that night, and then I knelt to pray, and I said, God, I'm not leaving this chapel till I know that I know that I know you've called me. Because I had a lot of doubts, and I knew Satan is going to play on those doubts. And as I was praying, the Spirit of God hit me, and I ended up under the bench, flat on my back. I didn't. Am I not coming through? Okay, yeah. Anyways, I knew that God had called me. And then I got into ministry and I still didn't believe that I was called. I couldn't, not having grown up in a pastor's home, I couldn't get this past my mind, and Satan played on it too. You're called a pastor. You're not a pastor. You know, and I'm a farmer because I lived in a farming area. We helped, and my kids remember, we used to go out to Mary Moore's farm. We milked the cows and we did all kinds of good things out there. And so one day we were having a reunion, a family reunion up in Banff, and it ended up that I went from Fernie and I drove up to Radium Hot Springs, and I hadn't filled up with gas, and I thought, well, you know what, there's a place between Radium up to Revelstoke or wherever it is, and then on to Banff, and I thought, must be a gas station in between somewhere there. I got halfway through, and there isn't anybody. In those days, there was hardly a car driving that stretch. And I said, Lord, I don't want to get stuck in this wilderness here. Anyways, the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to keep it at 50 and go. I drove with an empty tank, and I know it was empty because there was nothing left. And I drove all the way to Banff and drove even into a gas station and filled up. I didn't test the Lord again. But I did try how far I could go on an empty tank, probably about 17, 20 miles. And I must have done at least 80 or 90 miles after that. So I know it was God. But you know what? It was God again confirming to me. He had called me. And that's why I feel the calling of God has been so special. I want to thank God for not only calling, but keeping me. And thank the Lord for his great salvation. Every day I thank the Lord for saving my soul. I could have been lost like so many others. There go I, but for the grace of God. And I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit that when I was just very young, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And then as I went in ministry, God had given me other gifts of all sorts. And I just thank the Lord that he allowed me to use the tools that he avails for us. And then I want to give a thanks to my mom and dad. They're up in heaven. But I have a godly heritage. I thank the Lord for them. And I thank the Lord for Judy's mom and dad that served God. And they're both in heaven now as well, waiting for our reunion. One of the things my dad said before he left, he said, I don't care what you do, the family, but we want to all rendezvous in heaven. That was his thing. And so I just thank the Lord for our family that are serving God. And I want to give a special thanks to my wife who has stood with me all these years. And they haven't been easy years. And I thank the Lord for her faithfulness. And to my wonderful children. And to my wonderful children that have been such a blessing and a support to me as well. And now my grandchildren, I just thank the Lord for them. And I want to thank Pastor Mark and Anita and the board and the pastoral staff that welcomed me back to the church here. I just know that it was just such a healing time for us to come back and to enjoy this time together with you. And I want to thank you as a congregation for allowing me the privilege of serving you, and you've helped me become a better person because of it. No one goes through a trial without feeling their hurt, but you know what? Healing is found in Jesus' name. Amen. And body, soul, and thank the Lord for that. So with this service, I want you to release me. God is calling me to some new challenges, and I will always be a pastor, but I need some time off. For the first time, we're doing some holiday time this year. A lot of pastors get what they call sabbatical. On the seventh year, they get time off. And so I haven't taken that. So maybe I need a few sabbaticals here. Anyways. And so we're looking forward to this. And so I just trust that God will continue to bless me. And if any of you have been blessed through the ministry, my ministry or my family's ministry, It isn't because I'm good. It's because I've allowed myself to be a servant of God. It isn't because somehow I've tapped into some unknown resource except the resource that God gives. And so it's available for all of you. And I want to encourage you. Encourage one another and bless one another. I know there's lots of faults we can find in everybody and anything around us, but give praise to God. I asked the music team, they're going to be singing at the very end, called Blessed Assurance. I just want to read some of this. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of a spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. You see, praising my Savior all the day long meant that I could put God first in what I do. I thank him for my salvation. Praising my Savior was taking time to read. Praising my Savior was blessing other people. Praising my Savior was blessing my family and doing things. God gave me so many talents, and I just kept using them for God, and I want to continue to use them for God. And so all day long, my thoughts are turned more and more to God. I want to just close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you've been so gracious, kind, and good to me and to all of us. When we think of the great salvation that has been given to us, we give you thanks. Lord, we can't even begin to understand the magnificence of it and the majesty of what we're going to experience in glory. So, Lord, whatever we're doing, help us not to waste our lives, but to honor you in what we do and say. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done and will continue to do in each of our lives. And we want to give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.